You're listening to Caffeine and Chaos, a podcast for moms by a mom who's just taking it one day and one cup of coffee at a time. So sit back, relax, and come join me. Good morning, friends. Happy Friday. Congratulations, you made it through the week. And I'm super proud of myself because since getting the podcast back up and going, I said that I wanted to record 4 days a week, and I haven't been able to do that until now. So today's the first day, the first week that I've recorded 4 days. I'm so excited for me. I know, super, super nerdy moment there. I'm excited for this weekend. I shared with you guys yesterday, I thought I had a cake order this weekend, and I don't. Miracle. We do have lots of birthday parties this weekend, so we are going to go do that Saturday, and then we have one on Sunday, hoping to spend a little bit of time with my husband this weekend. I got super excited yesterday. I was working on October's calendar, and my husband and I are going away to a marriage retreat in the middle of October. We have not been to one in several years, so I am very, very exceptionally excited about going to do this with him. We're going with our church. We went the last time we lived here. Addison was a baby and we went, and it was the best time. We went right before we left to Okinawa, and it was such a refreshing weekend, but I'm excited for this year. I am not a beach person. I actually hate the beach. It's messy. There's sand. I have 4 children. So going is like packing to leave for a week. It's just, it's a lot and it stresses me out, but I love the concept of the beach in that I love the sound of the waves at night and I love looking at the ocean. I grew up near the water, so the water has a special place in my heart. And so our retreat this year is actually on the beach, about 45 minutes away. We're going to stay at a super nice hotel right on the waterfront. I'm hoping we have a beautiful view of the beach. I won't lie, I kind of want to take a walk on the beach with my husband without my children. So we'll see how that goes. We'll see. But we are going in October. I was filling out my calendar, saw that, and got super excited. I'm really excited to share with you guys, too, about our experience at the marriage retreat. It's always a good time. And, of course, we get to go with friends from church, so there will be great, great fellowshipping. Okay. So let me do a little bit of a review in case you haven't caught the other episodes this week. So this week I have shared about the ladies' conference that I got to attend last weekend. I went with my church to a church about 2 hours away. They go every year to this ladies' conference, but this was the first time I've been able to attend. They had 2 amazing speakers. The first speaker, her name was Joanna, and she talked about things that happen while we're blooming. She was super encouraging. I shared her presentation on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, I shared about Robin. Robin actually ended up speaking for the last 3 sessions that I attended. So I heard her 3 times. So she talked in her first session about things to do while you're waiting. That was super encouraging. And then yesterday, I shared about her marriage session, which was just super sweet, simple, to the point, but such good reminders for marriage and making your marriage a happily ever after. And today I'm going to talk about her last session. Now, I don't have a lot of notes on this session, so today's going to be a little short. I was going to share the 4th session, which was a Q&A where they brought all the speakers and the pastor and his wife up on the podium and talked. But I want to save that for next week because the questions that they asked were so good, and I just want to break them down for you guys and talk about one question per day and kind of elaborate on it because I thought they were really, really great questions. So in Robin's 4th session, she shared more of her personal testimony, which was really cool. And what I took away from it was the topic of prayer and the fact that we can pray the impossible thing and that we often don't as Christians. I talked a little bit about this on Wednesday, maybe? Yes, Wednesday. Where she talked about, we have this tendency to put God in a box. It's kind of like, okay, God, You know, we've been waiting a year for this Marine Corps reimbursement check, and we would really just like you to just pave the way and give us this check. And far too often, I put God in a box when it comes to that. And thinking back to our situation in Okinawa, which I'll be sharing about next week. Let me look. We're coming up on 1 year. Yeah, next week. We're coming up on 1 year since we arrived back in the States, and one of the things that my therapist said that I do is she recommended that on the 1 year anniversary, share your story. Because now that we have worked through a lot of the emotions and things, sorry, this is a commercial, the emotions and things associated with it, our experience is now part of our testimony, and there is a lot that we can be thankful for. I know I talked a little bit about it in an episode a couple weeks ago, but I want to share the whole story. I want to share the nitty-gritty of how God worked in our lives in the moment. But even thinking back to that experience, how often did I pray so small in that situation? You know, Lord, help us pass our COVID test today. Lord, get us home. Lord, get us tickets. Why didn't I pray bigger? Why didn't I? And so she really challenged us, you know, pray bigger. Don't put God in a box. But this session, she gave a lot of scripture. And then she just shared a lot of personal stories. And so I wanted to share those two stories with you because they really impacted me about how our testimonies are tools that we can use to influence others. I've always been a firm believer of this. My salvation testimony, I don't know if I've ever shared it on here. I'll have to go back and look. My salvation testimony truly is the story of a part of my life that shaped me into who I am today. I would not be who I am. I would not be with my husband if it had not been for the events that surrounded my salvation. And then that salvation testimony continues into years after, which continued to shape me. And so the fact that she shared these two stories with us truly for me was just a continued emphasis on the fact that your testimony is a tool. Don't keep it to yourself. And after you're saved, your whole life is a testimony. Like, why are you still here? What does God have for you? So she talked about prayer. And I will say, I just wrote down the scripture passages. But the one thing that I did write down was that God cares about everything on my prayer list. From a friend's mom possibly having cancer. She's getting ready to have surgery in a few weeks to find out if she has cancer. Cancer. And her daughter's husband are in ministry. They just accepted the pastorate at a church. And they're getting ready to move away. They're moving away next week. And days after they move, her mom is having a surgery to find out if she has cancer or not. What? God cares about that on my prayer list just as much as he cares about me praying that Easton has a good day at school or praying that our therapy company would get a therapist figured out for Easton so he can have therapy. These are the things that are on my prayer list right now as a mom and as a wife. For my husband, through this med board process, that he would have peace and that he would be patient for God's timing through this process. And that just really impacted me, and then how she talked about every little thing and everything that we need to be thankful for and all the ways that we need to pray and how often we need to pray and things like that. So that was literally, I kid you not, the one thing out of all the notes I took, that was the one thing I wrote down during this session. But these are the stories she shared with us, and I wanted to share them with you because I thought that they were really just a great picture of how God can answer the impossible prayer. So the first one, I had already shared with you on Tuesday about how she and her husband decided to go into ministry. They pastored for 36 years and chose to retire and go into a different line of ministry. So now they travel all over the country, all over the world doing their ministry, training nationals to go back to their own country and start Bible colleges and start churches. And how they sold their house, all the items in their house, and their cat in 48 hours. And that's cool. And that was when she talked about don't put God in a box. Think bigger. Pray bigger. So she then shared the story with us of, which this one blew my mind. Honest to goodness, I'll share her information again because y'all need to go look her up. I'm sure that her stuff is online. I'm sure that her husband's preaching is online from the church that they used to be at. This woman had what they called a triple threat. So a triple threat in the medical world is when you have three things happen at once. Okay? Just one thing on top of the other, and your body is essentially left fighting for its life. And it's not any specific thing they talk about. It's just in the medical world, when a person has three different medical problems come up at the same time, they refer to it as a triple threat. So she had, I'm trying to remember now. First, she had hives, or not hives, I'm sorry, shingles. And shingles creates a rash on the outside of your body. Well, instead of creating a rash on the outside of her body, it created a rash on the inside of her body, and it was on her head, and it affected her brain, and it caused neurological damage. That was the first thing. Then she got Lyme's disease, which impacted her neurological health. And then I cannot remember what the third one was. I can't remember. I'll remember it later. She had these three things. She was in the hospital. It impacted her ability to function, her ability to walk, to feed herself, to speak. She was basically an invalid. Okay. She shared with us her health had declined to the point where she was mentally not stable. She couldn't be left alone. She would try to run away from home. She would try to get in strangers' vehicles. Just very, very bizarre things. Things that we would be saying, "What on earth is going on with you? Like, commit yourself." Okay, now mind you, her husband is still a pastor at this point. Okay, so her husband is in the ministry and has a wife who's no longer able to be a part of that. She shared how her daughter came and helped to take care of her. And just how through that season, they prayed for her to be healed. You heard that woman speak? You would never know. You would have no clue that is how sick she was. She speaks clear as day. She walks. She laughs. She functions. And she spoke three times. Three times at this ladies' conference. Three. What? Mind blowing. That was the first thing. That was just a small example. Then she talked about how her son and daughter-in-law, who are missionaries to Africa, were pregnant. And they did a scan of the baby in Africa and told mom and dad, "Your baby has a genetic condition called anencephaly. If you don't know what that is, go look it up." So they raised money to bring the family back to the US to get a second opinion. Sure enough, they came back to the States and their baby had anencephaly. And they told mom, they said, "Baby's not going to survive. We recommend that you terminate the pregnancy." And they chose not to. She chose to carry to term. And the doctor said, "Okay, when the time comes, we'll deliver the baby." And this was the part of the story I was a little unsure of. I think, oh, yeah. Hang on, I remember. So she continued her pregnancy. And as the pregnancy went on, mom got very sick. Baby got sick. It was no longer safe for her to continue to be pregnant. So they planned to go ahead and induce labor and have a baby or have a C-section. And they had warned mom and dad, baby will live for so many minutes after she's born, and you can hold her and we'll do the process. And so she shared, the whole family was there. They all came and they went to the hospital to have baby. And she went, this was funny. She said, "Even in a moment of grief, I'm so vain." She went to the mall to get a makeover. And she said, "We were going to go to the hospital after baby was born and take pictures, and I wanted to look nice for my granddaughter's pictures." So she said she's getting all dolled up and she's sitting in the middle of the mall talking to the girl who's doing her makeup, crying and sharing her story, and they're crying together. And she's sitting there getting her makeup done, and her phone rings, and it was her son. And she said, "I'm sorry, I have to take it." So she answered the phone, and her son said, "Mom, it's done. Baby's here. And baby's fine." And she said, "Okay, well, I'll be there in a little bit." And he goes, "No, I don't think you understand." He said, She's okay. There's nothing wrong. They medically cannot explain what just happened. They went and they performed the C-section, and baby was born. And there was nothing wrong with her. The anencephaly was gone. It's gone." And she said, "It's amazing. They have pictures. They have ultrasounds of baby clearly with this condition, clear as day, with anencephaly. And she's born and she's perfect." And she talked about how her granddaughter has like a little part on the back of her skull that just looks pinched. And we said, "We talk about how that was Just Jesus' fingers pinching everything back together. And she just talked about how, you know, we pray in such a small box. We need to stop doing that. We need to stop putting God with limitations, because that's not who God is, and that's not how he works or what he does. So I just thought that was really cool. Honestly, her last session was maybe 40 minutes long, if that, maybe more like 30. But it was just those two stories that are part of her testimony that were so big that just showed the point of, don't put God in a box. When you pray, stop. Pray for miracles, because God can do the impossible. And I know that there are situations where God will not do the impossible. We have two friends that I know of whose daughters were also diagnosed with anencephaly, and their little girls went on to be with Jesus. One was not able to carry to term, and the other was, and she was able to hold her daughter. And even her testimony, she was actually sharing on the bus on the way home of how God just gave her the time. And this was the coolest thing. She was not a believer when her daughter was born. And she shared about how, even though I was living in sin, in my deepest, darkest sin, I asked God to give me time, and he gave me that. And I thought, we limit God so much. You know, I've heard it preached again and again. If you're not saved, if you're living in sin, your prayers don't go past the ceiling. You know what? I'm going to call BS. That is a lie from the pit of hell. It's a lie. Because if that was the case, God wouldn't hear you when you prayed to be saved. God is not selective in the prayers that he hears. Sometimes he answers differently. So for the Ogle family, God answered their prayer in that he healed, miraculously healed. Even the doctors are saying, when you go back to Africa, he told them, he said, when you go back to Africa and you tell these people what happened, we want to go with you. Because this is 100% a medical miracle we've never seen before. It impacted those doctors, and I would hope that it impacted those doctors for Christ, and that they're now believers and they're saved. And I think that God sometimes uses medical miracles to impact unsaved doctors. They're in an incredible field. I don't know how anybody can look at the human body and say, this came from an explosion in the sky, and everything was just there, and you mutated from a monkey. What? I'm sorry. I was in nursing school for 2 years. I didn't finish, but I was in long enough to sit through an anatomy and physiology class and have the most amazing, God-fearing instructor who told us again and again and again, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that we came from nothing because of how the human body works. And it's so true. It doesn't make sense. God uses big things and God uses little things. And we as Christians have this tendency to just put him in this tiny, tiny little box and say, okay, God, do this. Okay, God, give me energy to get through today. Okay, God, give me patience with my husband. Why not help me to be everything to my husband? Help me to have the strength to encourage him when I'm not encouraged. Help me to share the gospel with my children every day without thinking about it. You know, our family is in a transition period once again. My husband is getting retired from the Marine Corps medically. This is not of his own choice. He physically is not well. Why can't I sit back and pray for God to heal him? You know, I become so content with the idea of, okay, we're going to get medically retired, and you know, he's going to go on. And my husband is still on the fence. He loves being in the Marine Corps. This was his dream. And to get out 10 years before his time is heartbreaking for him. Why am I sitting on the couch praying, okay, God, just help this process to go smooth? Yes, I can pray that too, because whatever God's will is going to happen. So, you know, Lord, if your will is for my husband to be medically retired, please just pave the way for us and make your will clear. But why am I also not sitting there and saying, but Lord, if it would be your will that you would heal my husband, I pray that he would wake up one day no longer in pain. I pray that it would be unexplained. I pray that he would go to a doctor and they would tell him Your plantar fasciitis is gone. And your shoulder is healed completely. No surgery needed. It's healed. I can pray, Lord, help my husband to run a PFT and to pass it first class. Why am I not praying that? Why? Why am I not praying that way? Because my mind is so small, I only focus on what's in front of me. So it just challenged me. I hope it challenges you, especially as you head into the weekend. I hope this week has been encouraging. That's what I want. Sometimes I'm going to share things that are not so much encouraging as they are informative, but I do want this to be an encouragement to you. That's why I'm doing this 4 days a week. I'm not doing it 4 days a week for the money. Believe me, the money's not that great. I'm doing it 4 days a week because I want to encourage you, and because this is a creative outlet for me that's helping me work through anxiety and postpartum depression, and I love that. So I love that hopefully helping fill your cup is helping me keep mine full. So I hope you guys have a great Friday. Have a great rest of your weekend, and I'll talk to y'all next week.